What's going on, guys? It's Nathan. First and foremost, I really want to apologize for the long hiatus that Raw History has been on. It's been a journey the past couple of weeks, and a lot has been going on, to say the least. My mental health, my physical health has all been tested, and I'm trying to get back on track on the mental side as I recover from the physical aspect of it. I've been going through a lot of kidney issues, things that have actually stemmed back from many, many years ago. And I, as a true Virgo and the true Nathan that I am, kind of just put it off and thought, you know what? I don't really need to take care of my body and my health because I'm young and I got this. Well, I needed a wake-up call because I'm not so young anymore, and my health is very important because without that, I physically cannot do anything. And I'm experiencing the backlash of that as we speak, which is definitely taking a toll on my mental health. And everybody that's in my life has definitely noticed the strain that it has put on me, and kind of put me back in a little bit of a shell and really made me question, you know, the things that I've done, the way that I have handled things, and the way that I have completely ignored a lot of issues that I myself put myself through, if that makes sense. I'm not proud to say that there has been multiple days during this quite unnecessary hiatus that I've put myself through, not just with the podcast, but in life. I've kind of just put my life on the back burner, and I can't do that. I really can't. And I've pushed people away like I do all too often, and it really just puts me in a position that makes me have to reevaluate what it is that I've done and how I can learn from that. It's super easy to talk about everything that I've done wrong. It's super easy to bullshit and say, you know, it's fine, everything's gonna be okay, you know, there's no reason to stress about it, everything always works out. Although that may be the case, I still have to take full ownership of things that I've done, and that's something that I've learned very recently. I mean, it's easy, like I said, it's easy to say. It sounds great, you know, oh, I take ownership of everything that I've done, but I'm lying. I, to an extent, have definitely taken my life choices very seriously, but there's also times where I just shut down. I turn myself off. I don't allow feelings to be felt. And you would think that this person who is all about mental health and promoting positive energy and allowing people to share their stories and their true authentic self is being the complete opposite. I'm living the complete opposite life. And I'm not comfortable knowing that I've been lying to not only myself, but to you guys. And it's not an intentional thing. I'm not, you know, definitely not perfect. I have made so many mistakes, so many wrong choices. And I think that the only way to actually grow is to truly own everything that you've done and not make excuses for it. And that's one thing that I am probably best at, is making excuses for things that I've done. And just saying that makes me sick to my stomach. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be the person that's like, you know, all you have to do is think positive and you know, be honest with yourself and others and inspire people while you're inspiring yourself and become your biggest advocate of self-healing and everything. And it's all bullshit. I'm telling you this, you know, all this stuff that I'm saying that is so important for your mental health, I'm sitting here preaching it and not living it. And it really took me a long, long while to understand the fact that although I may be able to share this with you guys, I'm not sharing it with myself. I'm saying all the words that I know to be true, but I'm not living by that. So I'm trying to set an example for something that I'm not even comfortable, or I should say was not even comfortable doing on my own. I'm in a position now where financially I'm struggling. I'm in a position now where my mental health is struggling. My physical health with my kidneys is struggling. I'm struggling with almost every aspect of my life, and the only person that is responsible for that is me. I chose to walk the path that I'm on, and I have to own that. And that's what I'm doing. So, as you guys know, back in February, the end of February, early March, I was put on a psychiatric hold for an evaluation because I was not doing good. And I think that that was the beginning step of me realizing that I had a problem with drinking, with holding on to things that I need to let go of, with not allowing certain things to be felt, to be, you know, processed, and just letting it go. Like my father, truth be told, I have not seen my father in almost a year. Do you know the pain and anxiety that I feel knowing that? It's literally debilitating. I don't know what it is that is blocking me from just seeing him. My therapist that I talk to every other week, we've been talking about this for quite a while now, and it definitely helps. And I'm so grateful for her. You know, it's almost like I'm talking to a friend, and I've never felt that it's a problem that I share my stories with her. I don't ever have any hesitation. If she has a question, I don't hesitate to ask, you know, why did I feel, or why do you think that I felt that way? You know, conversations when it comes to psychiatrists or therapists or counselors, you know, you can say something and they're probably more than likely going to have a rebuttal or a question as to, you know, well, why do you feel that way? And for so many years, literally up until, you know, I started speaking with her, I would sugarcoat things. I would, you know, lie, just flat out lie about it, to make it seem like it wasn't as serious, or to make it as seem as though, you know, it's not a problem. And again, just not owning my truth. I'm telling you guys to do this, and here I am getting deeper and deeper into this hole that I've dug for myself, basically. And it's been a journey. I'm nowhere near. And when I say nowhere, I mean no, I'm just past the finish or the start. Like the gun went off 12 years ago and I'm just now leaving. So I'm so far away from the finish line that it's scary. And I know that I'm the one to blame. I've put myself in this position. I'm the reason that I'm having these financial issues. I'm the reason that my kidney is going through all the trauma that it's going through with these surgeries and infections and all of that. It's because of me. I'm the one who's hurting people that mean the most to me in my life by pushing them away, by hiding my emotions, by hiding behind a bottle of alcohol. I, just the other day, was over at my friend George's house. I've known him since high school. He always had mutual friends. We were never close. We would see each other every now and then, at a party or something like that, but we never really hung out. He actually was dating one of our very close friends back in high school. He moved in across the street. He just moved back from Florida. And it's really cool to just have new friends. My motto is no new friends. I'm good with the ones I have. But it's good to see people that, you knew back in the day and, kind of knows your story and, get an outsider's perspective. And to have somebody that I have not seen in so long come to me and say, "What are you doing? Your potential is so much higher than what you are giving yourself and allowing yourself to have. Why are you not pushing to be the best that you could possibly be? Why are you hiding behind what you think you are?" And it was mind-blowing. And unfortunately, I'm gonna just own it and say being an addict of multiple substances in my life, alcohol being the biggest, he likes to drink. I'm just gonna put it out there. And it's not really beneficial for me because I also like to drink. But I know that when I drink, it's just downhill. The second that I have a drink in my hand, I know I'm starting a self-destruction mode. It's unfortunate. I can physically have just one drink. I'm not like the person that if I drink, I, 100% of the time just go balls to the wall and just go crazy. Do I have times where that's what happens? Oh, absolutely. I would say about 80% of the time. That's how I knew that it was a problem. But the other day, I had only had a drink and a half, and I was over across the street, like I said, with my friend George. And I have been off of my anxiety medication for about 5 or 6 days now. The psychiatrist that I was seeing prior to the hospitalization, I'm no longer seeing. I actually am looking into a malpractice lawsuit, which will be a whole different episode on that. But I have a new psychiatrist, but I don't see them until the 7th of May. So I have been going through benzodiazepine withdrawal. And if anybody knows anything about that, it can be debilitating and actually very life-threatening. Considering I've been on this medication for 7 years, maybe longer, that you can't just stop taking it. So I was going through really, really bad withdrawal, and I had drank a couple of drinks, like I said. I couldn't even finish the second drink. It was a little too strong, but I ended up leaving, realized I didn't have my key, went back in to talk with his roommate, and we were hanging out, talking, everything was fine, and then bam, decided that, let's smoke some weed. Why not? It's fine. It'll calm me down. It'll be cool. Well, the exact opposite happened. It was not cool. It was not a good time, and I was not calm. She ended up having to call 911. I was having the worst panic attack. I would say the second worst panic attack that I've ever had. I couldn't physically talk. I knew what I wanted to say. Like when the paramedics were asking me questions, I could say it in my head, but when I went to speak, it just came out mumbled and all jumbled and just made no sense. So they're thinking that I'm on all these type of drugs and just super drunk. And although yes, I definitely was not sober, I was definitely on no other substances other than alcohol and marijuana, which if you guys don't know, in New York, it is legal. So, not saying that it's good, not saying it's okay, not saying it's right, but I'm not doing anything illegal. I'm of age by a lot, and that's what it is. So in the hospital, They did blood work, they did a urine test, they gave me 2 bags of, 2 liters, I'm sorry, of fluid, a potassium drink. It was like a red drink that, I don't know, I guess my potassium was low and my blood pressure was extremely low, which is very rare for me. It's always high. My blood pressure has always been high. Not like alarming high, but I think I have what they call white coat syndrome, where when you're at a doctor's or, you know, the hospital or something, you get super anxious. And especially considering I already have an anxiety disorder, it's just amplified. So the fact that it was low and stayed low was very concerning for me. I still don't know why. But anyhow, they did, you know, the drug or the toxicology report. There's nothing in my system other than marijuana. I don't do other drugs. And you know, that had nothing to do with why I was feeling the way I was feeling. I mean, it was so bad that I had to have her walk me to the bathroom because I could not walk by myself. I think that part of it had to do with the massive infection in my bladder. Because of the situation that's going on with my kidney, I still have the stent in my kidney. Monday, I go to have it taken out, which I'm terrified of because they don't give you any anesthetic, and I don't think that's a word, but it is today. Both times when it was put in, I was put out. So they're taking it out, and I'm not going to be asleep. I'm going to be fully aware of everything that's going on, and that's terrifying. But I think that the infection that I had from that also definitely didn't help me feeling any better. So having a couple of drinks, smoking, and having that massive infection, I think all led to that situation being in the hospital. Now, you would think that somebody who is withdrawing from a benzodiazepine would be at least given a pill or a shot of something for anxiety while you're in the hospital being treated. No, that's not the case. They would not do anything. The doctor literally told me, "What do you want us to do? Give you a shot of Ativan and send you home?" Now, when you're withdrawing from benzodiazepine or anything of that kind, you know, Xanax, Ativan, Klonopin, Valium, anything in that, you know, family, irritability is through the roof. And this doctor was telling me that she wasn't going to help me. Now, I already get aggravated when doctors don't listen to patients or think that they know that patient's body better than the patient. It stems back to my father and things that he's gone through. So it's very close to home and very annoying. So I kind of just let it go. And then she said, "And plus, there was nothing in your system anyways." Well, right. It had been, you know, several days since I had taken the last half of pill that I had. Or no, I'm lying. The last pill I had was a full one. But it obviously it's not in my system. I'm telling you that I'm withdrawing from it. So I was like, "So what do you want me to do? Do you want me to just keep coming back? It's not like I'm drug seeking. I've literally not been in the hospital since my surgery, which was, you know, about 3-4 weeks ago. So there's no reason for them to think that I'm drug seeking, considering it's not even in my system. There's nothing in my system. So that really agitated me. And basically they just said, you know, if it gets worse, you know, we'll have to treat it then as an emergency. But all your vitals are, you know, in the okay zone. So my psychiatrist or my therapist was like, "Listen, that is not how it's supposed to go. But every doctor at a hospital has their own way of going about certain things. And unfortunately for me, that doctor was not having it." I don't know why. I'm not sure. But, you know, going through that, you can have a seizure. Like I said, in very severe cases, you could die. I know that every day is a 50-50 chance, you know, that's the way that I look at it. There's a 50% chance that I make it through the day, and there's a 50% chance that I don't. And that's just, I know that's not logical, but it gives me, someone who has super bad anxiety about health, a little bit of, I guess, comfort telling myself that. Obviously hoping for the best, but expecting the worst. And I know that's not the right mind frame to be in. And that is where I'm trying to learn how to think about and actually go about things in a different way. And my therapist and counselor has definitely 100% helped me see the light at the end of the tunnel. I'm not there yet. Like I said, I just passed the start line, but I'm getting there. I'm learning. The next step is getting a job. Technically, right now, I still have a job. I'm on a leave of absence, but because of COVID, I mean, I'm vaccinated, but because of COVID and everything else, and transportation, things are difficult. It's not easy for me to get a bunch of places. You know, I was in New York City for a long time. I don't have a car, and that makes it impossible to get to a job when both of your roommates work and go to school full time. So, you know, they were making it no longer remote, and that was an issue for me with transportation. If I wanted to do public transportation, if I had a morning shift, I would have to leave the house at 2 a.m. If I had a night shift, I would not get home until after the following shift started, because after a certain period of time, buses don't run where I am to where I am. So unfortunately, that's not going to be able to work. So I need to find a job that's in the area. I've been applying places left and right. I do have an interview coming up on Monday. Monday's going to be a very crazy day for me. I have the interview at 10:45, and then I have the surgery to remove the stent in my kidney at 4:15. So there's that. But I am behind on my bills. I am struggling in every possible way. And I just wanted to let you guys know that I'm still alive. I'm still here. I'm still pushing. I'm still trying to make my mark. And I know that there's a brighter, much brighter, happy moment coming, moments coming, that I just have to look forward and keep going. Live in the moment, live for today, but think for the future. And I think that this year is going to be very trying for me, very eye-opening, but I have to own my shit. And it's something that I haven't really ever done. Like I said, I can talk about it. I can be the advocate for myself. I can, you know, inspire other people. But at the end of the day, if I'm not listening to myself and the things that I say, what am I doing? I'm a fraud. I'm a liar. I'm not to be trusted if that's the case. And that's not the story that I want people to tell. That's not the story that I'm telling. So I don't want others to feel that way either. So if you guys have any recommendations on anything that I've said, any tips that you've possibly gone, things that you've gone through that are similar, that you've been able to, you know, self-heal from. I'm struggling with the words, and I'm still going through benzo withdrawal, so bear with me. This has been a process. I'm trying to do a one take and done because I don't have the patience to edit things at this time, so I do apologize. But it is what it is. So if any of you guys have any advice or, you know, just want to talk, by all means, all of my social media is going to be listed in the description, as well as a way that you can text me if you would like. So that is today's episode of Raw History. I'm so sorry for the very long hiatus, and if I worried anyone or if I lost followers or subscribers, I am so sorry, you guys. I'm really, really struggling with this. I'm trying to manage my mental health, again, with my physical health, with my personal life, and my professional life, and it's just all up in the air at this point. So I respect you guys for your time and your energy and your just, I'm thankful. I'm thankful to be able to tell my story, to tell you guys that I feel as though I've been lying to you, and to open up conversation to see how I can improve. Constructive criticism is key. Keep that in mind. With that being said, I love you guys as always. Please stay safe. Take care of yourself. Love those around you. Cherish the time that you have. And I'll talk to you soon.